I want to do something just before we begin today. I want to dedicate this particular service to the memory of Mrs. Catherine Suter. She went to be with the Lord this week, leaving behind her loving husband, Ron. And I believe Ron is somewhere in the house, if he would just stand wherever he is. Just stand up, Ron. And we have a promise, Ron, in God's word, and that is that at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he said, "Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted." And so for those around you, just lay hands on Ron. And Catherine left behind her children, Martin, James, KJ, Stephanie, and Kate, 8 grandchildren, 1 great-grandchild. So, Father, as we pray for Ron this morning, we take your word seriously that you will comfort him as he mourns the loss of his beautiful bride. And we thank you for the life that they shared, the family they created, and the ongoing work that is happening through the Suter family. Father, as I looked through the pictures of Catherine's life, there was one picture that made all the difference for me. She was standing here in the Kanata campus with her hands raised, worshiping you by faith. Today she worships you face to face. And for that we say thank you, that she has received the reason why you came. And she's now enjoying her eternal reward. And so for Ron, we pray strength, comfort, blessing, great memories, and beautiful family to continue to work together to honor not just Catherine's memory, but all that you want to do in the Suter family. We bless him today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Ron. Bless you, sir. Well, it's good to have a wife beside you to tell you all the things you did in the first service that you did wrong. So I announced that it was the 2025 Christmas message. It's not 2025 yet. We're still 2024. So thank you, honey, for that wonderful prod that you gave me. I really like it. Today we want to talk about God's gift of peace. But more than just the word peace. Everybody put your fingers up like this. It's easy to go peace, peace, peace. But we're going to talk about something deeper than the word peace, the word shalom. It comes out of God's heart for us as his followers. We're going to look at Matthew and Luke. And Matthew's going to introduce us to some magi that come from the Far East, probably Persia, modern-day Iran. And we're going to see that the prophet Daniel had a part in their journey, but not directly, obviously, but the ministry of Daniel to the court of Nebuchadnezzar, he was the head of the magicians. Interesting how God positions our hearts and our lives to be a light in the midst of darkness. And he would have taught all of the different things about, in particular, Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, that a Messiah was coming into the world. And these magi would have been looking into that. Why? The Bible calls them wise men. They were seeking to understand what this God who created the heavens and the earth, what he was doing. And so in their understanding of what the scriptures were teaching, they made it a point to say, if that's what God said through Daniel, then we need to take heed. We're also going to look at angels that appear to lowly shepherds and the glory of God invading the dark skies over Bethlehem. And even Bethlehem is a promise from the prophet Micah that even though it's a little town in the province of Judea, it is a very significant place because all the perfect Passover lambs came from Bethlehem. And when a perfect lamb was born, for the shepherds to take care of that, they would wrap it in swaddling clothes and they would place it in a stone manger. And that manger would protect that little lamb from becoming damaged or hurt. Also, that it would be a sacrificial lamb in the temple, 9 kilometers away, one day on Passover. So all of these things that you read about in the scriptures, they help you understand how detailed God really is. And if he can do that on a global scale, think about what he can do in your life. He can direct your steps every single day. Now, Pastor Mitch last week said this, hope is in the boat. Good expression. Hope is in the boat. In the difficult circumstances of life that Joseph faced, hope was in the boat. Well, I want to tag on that. Today we're going to talk about peace in difficult circumstances. So peace is in the heart. Hope is in the boat. Peace is in the heart. Before we get into it, let's stand together. Take your Bible, your tablet, your phone, or your hand over your heart. And say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. And I'm ready today to receive into my heart, ever living, everlasting, the incorruptible seed called the Word of God. Holy Spirit, speak to my heart about the gift of shalom and change my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. We'll begin in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. We'll look at verses 1 to 3 and 7 to 12. Remembering that when you make a bridge from the book of Malachi and you go to the book of Matthew, it's the Jewish tradition being carried on. And so everything Matthew does is, it is written, it is written. He's constantly focusing them back on what God has already laid down so that they can move forward in his purposes. And so we'll look at it from a little bit of a Hebraic position. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now, after Yeshua was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they said this, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Think about it. They're not looking for something external, they're looking for a person. That's why they're wise. They want to know, who is this one that is called king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to do what? To worship him. Wow. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Do you think Herod wanted to worship the real king of the Jews when the Roman Senate had put on King Herod, you're the king of the Jews? All of a sudden, there's a competition going here, and his heart is troubled. And so, listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. How many believe God was at work, leading and guiding? We don't have to follow a star anymore. We've got Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And he's the one that leads and guides. But in this part of the story, he's showing the supernatural dimension to the natural men of his day. And they're following this star because they believe the king of the Jews is going to be born because Daniel spoke about it in the past. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Going into the house, notice this isn't the manger time. This is a little while later. Some scholars say even up to 2 years later. They saw the child with Miriam, or Mary, his mother. They fell down and they worshiped him. These are pagans. These are wise men from the east. These are people who have a whole different perspective on life than what the Jews have. And remember, they've traveled 2,200 kilometers to meet with Jesus, And the religious leaders in Jerusalem and the people in Jerusalem wouldn't even go 9 kilometers. There's something about a seeking heart. There's something about what goes on inside of us that says, no matter what it takes, I need to find this one. I don't know where to find him, but I need to find this one. And God begins to direct your steps. They opened their treasures. They brought gifts. And they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then, being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. God knows how to provide, and he knows how to protect. He knows how to direct your steps. He knows when to say no, and he knows when to say go. And God's plans are not our plans. In this story, we probably would have done it differently. If we, again, look at Matthew as he's talking about what the Jews have experienced in the past, we go to Isaiah 54:10, where it is written, "For the mountains may depart and the hills may be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you. And my covenant of peace, a covenant of shalom, shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." So not only do we experience hope and peace, we have a covenant of shalom established by God with us as his followers. And that secures us no matter what the circumstances are around us. And may I say that shalom can only come from the author of shalom. And that's why when you meet him, things change in your life. It's vital for us to understand that peace is his covenant with all people in every circumstance who are part of his family. John 14, we know from the New Testament, not just what we've read in the Old, but in the New, Jesus said, "Peace I leave you. My shalom I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. So let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You know, when we talk about peace, sometimes that's just an understanding that we get our way, or things are not bitter, or there's no conflict, and we think, well, we've got peace. But have you ever noticed it doesn't last? All the things at Christmas, all the toys that everybody wants, and you know, the Baby Shark songs that we all want to hear over and over again. You learn after a while that nothing satisfies and nothing is permanent, and it leaves you wanting something more. Thank you, sir. But these wise men, these magi who are coming from the east, they're rich because they're bringing gold and frankincense and myrrh. They have what it takes to travel that far. They've been searching their scriptures to find out what this Daniel meant about the one that was to be born. And yet, in the midst of all of that, wise people see what really matters. They see through life. They see that there's more meaning to life than just what they're living. And so these wise men sought Jesus out, this man called King of the Jews, who was a baby. And so the Magi from Persia in the east were called by God to do something, to go beyond their borders, to go beyond their beliefs and their religion and their education, their status in life, and to seek out the truth wherever it led them. And sometimes you hear that in cases in court, we'll follow the facts, the evidence will show us what really is taking place. So they're looking for evidence of what Daniel had spoken about earlier. And they traveled 2,200 kilometers to Jerusalem. They met with the king, King Herod, the one who was called King of the Jews because of the Roman Senate. So he's got a title, he's a positional leader, but he's not the King of the Jews. The little baby being born is going to be the King of the Jews. And so after Jesus is born in Bethlehem, King Herod, a wicked leader, is threatened by the birth of Jesus, the real king, and he seeks to have him killed. And you know, when you read the story, all the baby boys, 2 and under, were slaughtered. That's the kind of fear that was in Herod. That's the kind of animosity that was in him towards what God was doing. And Isaiah 48:22 reminds us why he was that way. There is no peace, says the Lord, for those who are wicked. Think about that. No peace for the wicked. When we talk about a life that is wicked or a life that is devoid of peace, it's marked by a soul in the state of agitation, confusion, manipulation, a confused mind often filled with fear, doubt, and constantly unsettled. You get around someone like that, they make you nervous. And King Herod, when he exercised his authority as king in Jerusalem, everyone felt the effects of the decisions he was making. And yet, the opposite of that, for you and I, we come in shalom. We come in an opposite spirit to what is going on in the culture around us. And a person that enjoys the covenant of shalom will always exercise an opposite spirit to a world that's filled with fear and agitation. What are the Magi doing? They're coming and they're offering worship freely, without compulsion, and from the gratitude of their heart that what they were seeking, God was willing to lead them exactly to the place where Jesus was being born. And they brought gifts. Wise people bring gifts. And when you think of the gifts, just even the title of the gifts, they bring gold. And if you're Jewish, you understand that inside the temple that's in Jerusalem, in the Holy of Holies, on the Ark of the Covenant, it's covered in gold. Why? Because it's valuable. It represents the presence of God. And so these wise men bring gold, a symbol of divinity, to be able to say, we honor you and you're of great value to us. And then frankincense is a resin that comes from a tree, and it's used in fragrance to worship. And when you have that frankincense smell going up, it solicits within inside of us a willingness to worship the Lord. And then myrrh. Myrrh was used in embalming. It was also used in a mixture in vinegar called gall, and it's what Jesus was offered when he was dying on the cross, represented bitterness and suffering. So you think of the divinity of Christ, you think of the worship experience, and you think the end of his story, and you realize, man, God is in the details. No matter what it is that we're going through, he's in the details. Gifts that would also do something else. God's also very practical. Mary and Joseph and Jesus are in Bethlehem. They've got to go back to Nazareth. They've got to pay for their time in Bethlehem. And these gifts would provide them with what they need in a temporal way to take care of all their expenses. I love how God takes care of us because he loves us and he cares about us. And even after the resurrection of Jesus that would go on, his disciples heard him say to them while they were fearful, while they were concerned, while they were agitated, he says to them, Shalom Aleichem, be at peace. Just know that I'm here in your midst, and I will do for you what cannot be done by anything or anyone else. He is Prince of Peace. He is the Shalom of heaven. He is the covenant promise that God gives to us, that you can have inside of you the peace of God that surpasses all understanding while everything around you is chaotic. Hope in the boat, peace in the heart. The biblical shalom, which Jesus provides, goes straight to the heart. It provides an inward sense of completeness or wholeness, describing a life in which nothing is any longer at war within. You know, when you study the book of Romans and you begin to see that before we came to faith in Jesus Christ, we were at war with God. We didn't want him into our life. We didn't ask him to do anything inside of us. But then there came a day where we waved a white flag and we said, Jesus, we need you. And when Christ comes in, the war goes out. And suddenly there's a peace inside that you try to figure out and you can't. Because it's not a commodity, it's a person. And as he's at work inside of you, a relationship begins to develop where then you have confidence in his leadership in your life every single day, no matter what goes on. We live in a broken world, a fractured world, a lot of things going wrong, and the peace of God takes the brokenness and makes it whole, takes the fractures and heals them, takes all the things that the enemy means for evil, and he restores us. You know, when you read through the Psalms, he restores my soul. There's just something on the inside called the person of Jesus Christ who touches and heals and restores and builds inside of us because of his shalom and because we've waved the white flag. You might be here today and say in your heart of hearts, I don't think I've ever given my life to Jesus Christ or given it over to him. Today's a good day to do that. If the Magi would travel as far as they did, whatever distance you've traveled today, I want you to know God will meet you right at the point of your willingness to respond to him. Matthew wants you to see the difference that Jesus makes in a human life. When he's reigning on the inside, all the changes that come about. And on the backdrop of this earthly darkness, the Magi follow a star that supernaturally leads them right to the Prince of Peace. So, in your life, wherever the evidence leads, biblically, follow it. On the backdrop of this darkness, we also see a man by the name of Herod, who had everything life had to offer in the natural, but he was still at war with God. And he dies without receiving the gift of peace. So near, and yet so far. So let me ask, are you enjoying the gift of God's shalom? It's an important question. Let's go to Luke now. We're not talking about Magi. Now we're going to talk about shepherds. And I love that this is about shepherds because I'm a shepherd. In our day, when I say to someone, I'm a pastor, they go, what's that? How many know in our culture don't have an understanding of that? If I say to them, I'm a shepherd, that's worse. So in biblical times, when you were a shepherd, you were at the bottom of the pile. Even that shows the mark of God's kindness to humanity. Let's start Luke 2, beginning at verse 8. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Think of it. They're just taking care of the sheep. They're watching for animals coming to try and devour the sheep. They've been doing this for generation after generation after generation. It's dark. And suddenly there's an angel standing there. Freak out time, right? But not enough. The angel stands there, and then the glory of the Lord shines around them. And they were filled with great fear. Oh yeah, Pastor Barry, if an angel appeared to me, man, I'd be really strong in my faith. I don't think so. I think you'd fall on your face like the shepherds did. It's another supernatural event. It's another opportunity for God to show up and show what he's intending to do. And so the angel said to them, "Fear not. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So it isn't just for the shepherds, it's not just for the Magi, it's for whosoever will. If you fast forward that to 2024, it's for anyone in the world, anywhere. This good news of great joy. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, or the Messiah. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. the shepherds would know exactly what that meant. That if that little precious baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes and he was in a manger, there was something very unique about who he is. Suddenly, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, shalom, peace, among those with whom he is pleased." Who is God pleased with? Those who wave the white flag. Those who are no longer at war with him anymore. Those who are willing to worship him and receive him into their heart and their lives. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Wise shepherds. They are amazed at what they have just experienced. And now they're going to verify that what's been said to them is true, and they're going to follow the evidence. And they're going to go to Bethlehem, and they're going to see this little baby in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And they're going to realize he's the perfect offering that God brings into the world. What do kings and shepherds hold in common? Well, they hold authority and power. Kings over people and shepherds over sheep. Kings, their names are known by everyone, and shepherds, not known to many except the sheep that they care for. Jesus identifies with every king and with every shepherd. From the highest high to the lowest low, he will show himself to them so that he can draw them into his purposes and into his plans. You and I are part of this thing called the church. And the church is the Father's gift to his Son for doing the work of redemption so that you and I can be part of God's forever family. And the beauty of that is because we are the gift of the Father to the Son, we're very special in God's eyes. And he cares for us. And yet he goes after the lowly shepherds and he goes after the King of Kings, those that are kinging it and want to be high and mighty in life. And he speaks to every heart, and many will bow their knee. Many will follow. And if you're like me, I'm looking at the news now, and God is doing incredible things all over the globe. I mean, 24-hour baptismal services taking place in Texas. Iran, mosques closing because too many people have come to faith in Christ. I just want you to know we're living in incredible days. And if you say, "Well, I don't see anything," it's because you're not looking. The wise men were looking, and God rewarded them. The shepherds were looking, and God rewarded them. God rewards those who diligently seek him. So watch what he's doing in the world today, and you will see that. As we read the story of the shepherds in Luke 2, we see hearts in fear given the gift of shalom, getting the gift of peace. The angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord appearing to the shepherds, in the midst of them being terrified, God speaks peace to their heart. Why shepherds and not religious leaders? Well, Pastor Don Stewart says it this way: though the people went through the proper rituals that God had commanded, their hearts were not in them. They were not that interested in the truth of God. You know, you think of Nicodemus when he comes to Jesus at night, later on in the story. He's not satisfied with ritual. He's not satisfied just doing the daily routine. There's something in him. There's a greater call within him to be in relationship with God. And Jesus is a wonderful explainer of how that can happen. And so along the original angel, the hosts that appear, praising God, proclaiming shalom, we find out that the peace of God is not casual, but it is compelling. Luke 2 reminds us of that. When Herod exercised his authority as king, you had a good reason to run away and hide from him because no shalom came out of him. No peace came from him, only chaos. When the landscapes shake with God's glory, though, he manifests his peace to lowly shepherds. And like the shepherds, they chose to go and see him. King Jesus is our perfect peace. It's wrapped up in a person. And a prophecy that was spoken about Jesus from Isaiah was this: you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. You and I have to come to terms that when Jesus came into the earth, the world was not very welcoming. It was dark and full of turmoil, but God was there to change the order of man to the order of God. He had come to bring the peace of heaven to the chaos of earth. Allow him to speak into your heart today. Allow him to say, Lord, here's a manger right here called my heart. Come and dwell within my heart. And have you been walking with him for many, many years? Just say, Lord, sometimes I get my eyes off you. Sometimes I get my mind off of you. And I start to experience what it's like not to have you present within me in the experiential way. And so shepherds were overlooked by society in unknown pastures, but God saw them. God visited them. God spoke to their heart. God directed them. And they were never the same after that. And so God came into the world to seek the lost. And our stories today was the up and outers and the down and outers, the high and mighty and the lowly. He cares about every single one of us, no matter our station or our stature in life. And Jesus said it, and we've talked about it before. Peace I leave with you. My shalom I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. That's temporary. But do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Just receive the covenant of shalom. Walk in my peace, and the rest I'll take care of as I walk in and through your life. Amen. Bless you, bless you.